This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. You know, I wonder if you have ever faced one of those moments in your lives when you thought that you were going to be in a major accident, or even in one of those situations that have placed you near death. Actually, I've gone through many of those moments in my life, but the first one I remember took place when I was a teenager. I used to live in Havana, and they had brought these new, brand new buses from England. Leland buses. They said they were much better than the American buses. Well, they had air brakes, and we discovered that we were wrong in buying them. Because, especially in this bus that I was going, we were going downhill when the driver began to scream and warn everyone to hold tight because we had no brakes. We were going downhill. And as the bus went downhill, it began to pick up speed. And I knew that we were going to pass about two or three major intersections. And the chance of a major accident took place that was going to take place was pretty much guaranteed. Now, during those youth days, believe it or not, I was skinny. Actually, I also had hair almost like Elvis Presley, like all the young guys in those days. And there I was sitting next to this lady that was extremely well-fed. So actually, she occupied almost two-thirds of the seat. She began to panic, screaming the name of multiple saints. You know, I didn't realize that Roman Catholics could request the help of that many saints. Being raised a Methodist, I was totally unfamiliar with the myriad of saints in their list. The bus kept going downhill, and she continued invoking extra saints from her repertoire to come down to help her. Help St. Jude, St. Martha, Our Lady of Charity, St. Barbara, St. Lazarus, and so on and so on. I was so involved and fascinated listening to her list of saints that I pretty much forgot the danger that we were in. I was trying very hard to hold to my seat because every time that she invoked one of those saints, she pushed me sideways with her derriere, I imagine to make room for the saints. And that caused that half of my derriere was already on the aisle, regardless of how skinny I was. Now, considering my Protestant upbringing, I decided to do what any good Protestant was trained to do. You know, I didn't know a list of saints, so I thought if I was going to meet my Maker personally, the best thing was going to show up while saying the Lord's Prayer. That surely was going to impress the Lord. Well, in the end, nothing happened. We went all downhill, and the traffic lights were all green, and our driver was very good in avoiding collisions. But maybe the saints and our Father helped some. You know, I was glad that it was all over because if the ride downhill would have taken much longer, I would have been sitting in the aisle. There was no more room for me with that many saints sitting on that chair. Now, things happen in life that we don't expect. I'm sure that many of you are aware that our planet avoided a major disaster when an asteroid the size of an aircraft carrier passed between the moon and the planet Earth. I don't know if you read it on the papers, but I was amazed to read that the astronomers were watching it approaching Earth for the past 6 years. I never heard anything about it until it finally happened after it passed, and this was around the month of November. The asteroid was going as fast as 29,000 miles per hour. And it passed us at a distance of 2,000 and 2,000 miles, which also means that it got very close to the moon because it passed between the moon and the earth, and it got very close to the moon because the average distance between the earth and the moon is 239,000 miles, which means that it missed the moon by 37,000 miles. And in space, that is very close. The scientists say that if the asteroid had hit the Earth, it would have carved a crater as large as 4 miles across and 1,700 feet deep. If it slammed into the ocean, it would trigger a 70-foot-high tsunami wave. Now, I live in a condo in Miami on the 35th floor. I wonder if I would have survived. Maybe I need to move a little higher. But luckily for all of us, the asteroid passed without hitting planet Earth or our moon. We are told now that the next big asteroid coming our way is scheduled for 2028. I hardly think that I will be around to worry about it, but you young guys sitting there in the first row, think about it. All of these experiences remind us of how fickle life could be. We think that we have it all, that we control our lives, that we are in charge, but then, of a sudden, surprises come our way, and we discover otherwise. Now, during my short Christmas vacation, not that I'm complaining, but clergy are able to sneak out between Christmas and Epiphany. Nobody wants us for the New Year's parties. During that time, I visited Mayan ruins in Central America. As you know, previous to becoming the bishop in this diocese, I served for 17 years as the bishop of Honduras. And I started visiting and studying the Mayan ruins and the Mayan civilization for years. What amazed me during this last visit was the great number of tourists that are now interested in the Mayan calendar. I imagine you guess why, if you have seen the movie 2012. It seems that the end of the world, supposedly, is going to take place on December 21st, according to the Mayan calendar. Now, to be frank with you, I don't trust them that much, considering that they disappeared before the Spanish arrived here. I saw a cartoon that said the Mayan sculptor was approaching came to the king and says, "I run out of space after December 21st, 2012. And the king says, "Well, that's going to really blow the mind of many people later on." But it seems that this prophecy of doom is getting as great as the Y2K. Remember then? That Y2K excitement and fear expressed at the turn of our new millennium. Yes, there are two Mayan calendars in two different ruins, in two different countries. One is found in Copan, Honduras, and you can read it on Steel Sea or Slab Sea. And the other one is found in the ruins of Coba in Mexico. They both come up with the same calculation. Unfortunately, the press has managed to exploit the fact that the Mayan calendars end in the winter solstice, December 21st, 2012. But for those who have studied the Mayan civilization, know that the Mayans, and for the Mayans, it was important to mark the time of transition from one world age to the other. It didn't mean that the world was going to end, but there was going to be a transition. And the purpose of that was to know how to enter the future ahead. Now, doomsayers dismiss any rational thinking and claim that the prediction is supported by the stars. You see, on this winter solstice, the sun will be aligned with the center of the Milky Way for the first time in 26,000 years. One journalist, Lawrence Joseph, claims that according to his calculation, whatever energy typically streams to the Earth from the center of the Milky Way will indeed be disrupted. Therefore, he says, on December 21st, 2012, at 11 p.m. Universal Time, the world will end. When I read that, I said, "My God, I'm going to be saving a lot of money on my Christmas gifts this year." When you check these experts, they tell you that all of this 2012 hype comes from the media and also from other people that use the Mayan past to fulfill agendas that are really their own. I'm a little more sarcastic. I would even venture to say that one of the culprits of all of this hype are the tourist bureaus of Mexico and Central America that are making a lot of money spinning theories of how the world is about to end. Well, by now, you may be wondering, what does all of this have to do with today's readings? Well, it's simple. We have celebrated two dates in our liturgical calendar that are reminders of another time of transition from one world age to the other. This new world age has been predicted for several centuries, and it finally took place one day in Bethlehem. We finish now celebrating the 12 days of Christmas that remembers or the Christ's birth. And then on January 6th, earlier this week, we celebrated Epiphany Day that highlights Jesus' manifestation as one of us, as one living among us. Like the Mayans, at their time of transition from one world age to the other, that moved them to make changes to their cities and to their lives, we are called to be aware of this new world age that took place when the fulfillment of the promise of the Messiah became a reality in Jesus Christ. We are called to be aware of how to enter the future ahead of us. As we read the Word of God, we find a similar message that unless people listen to God, listen to the voice of God, and turn to God, they will miss the good news of this positive action of God. What would have happened if Samuel would have said, "Oh, well, I'm going to go to sleep. This must be some nightmare or dream"? We need to be perceptive and receptive to God's promises and God's call for us during this epiphany. We need to look at God's self-revelation, including his self-revelation to us where we are in our lives, in our midst, in our families. My brothers and sisters, life, we all know, is fickle. We are here today and gone tomorrow. Things happen in life that we don't expect. When we think that we have it all, that we control our destinies, we are surprised by the reality of our finitude and the many other outside factors that can change our world just like that from one moment to another. Yesterday, I arrived from Honduras, where I went to take care of my wife during and after surgery. We got the news just before New Year's. She was operated for a tumor in her thyroid. It was a routine checkup that found the possibility of an anomaly, and further tests showed that there was a tumor of considerable size. Was this our plan, to start the new year in the hospital? Of course not. But we had to face whatever came. The good news is that the surgery was a success and the tumor was benign. The only problem I have now, she has this scar here on her neck, and she says that the best way to cover it is with a good necklace. So we'll pass for a special offering, Father. The Bible reminds us that time is short and that human life is brief and transitory. Over and over through the different periods of human history, that same message is told, and our human experience tells us how precarious our existence is. In each passage, we find a similar message that unless we turn to God and listen to God's voice, we will miss the good news. The good news of the positive action of this new age that came through Christ our Lord. I call you during this Epiphany season to be perceptive and receptive to God's voice in our life and God's revelation in Christ, to face the uncertainties of existence with the firm promises of a Christ that calls us to his service, a Christ that reminds us the words of the prophet Isaiah, "Surely it is God who saves us. We should trust in him and not be afraid. For the Lord is our stronghold and our sure defense, and indeed, he will be our Savior." Amen.